The following podcast contains two drunk jerks.
And sometimes their friends.
Using obscene language and spoiling movies from the 80s.
So sit back and enjoy this audio experience.
The movie with the title that makes you think somebody at some point is going to fuck a rock.
The movie in which Mexicans play Colombians with... Actually, not bad, 1984. Not bad at all. Good job.
And the film that features the sultry... Pretty much a midget version of Andy Kaufman. If you've never noticed, take a good look. Danny DeVito.
This is Romancing the Stone on Blockbuster Nostalgia.
Everybody, and welcome back to Blockbuster Nostalgia. EG Sites here.
Francisco Landin, and joining us today,
Nathaniel Lamadrid, or Nathan Lamadrid, whatever I'm calling myself this week. I don't know.
Man, you should have picked a name before.
Yeah. Before we started recording.
Pick one or the other. What
should have settled on that.
Yeah.
But then again, I'm not one to talk.
So anyway, as you noticed, the sultry Emma is replaced today with a sultrier. Nathaniel. Nathanis La Madrid.
Yeah.
Yeah, Nathan being one of the sexiest motherfuckers that I know.
Yeah.
Because he's got that voice.
Yeah.
It's like sweet, sweet ear butter, which actually sounds very disgusting.
That's a medical condition, actually, and yeah, I would prefer you not talk about it in mixed company. Thank you.
Yeah, you never know who has it around here.
We are going to edit that, right?
Yeah. We're going to add me saying sweet, sweet ear butter over and over again.
Just that's going to be the rest of the podcast. Yeah. Just a loop.
Sweet, 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 sweet ear butter.
Yeah, we're going to make like in Baby Driver, we're just going to make a mixtape.
It worked there.
It did. Yeah. It did.
Of all we should make mixtapes of all our adventures.
Yeah. Which
by adventures, really just like car rides to work and shit.
I was about to say, as soon as we had adventures, yeah, sure, why not?
Yeah. We get drunk a lot.
That's true. We do.
You do.
Yeah, Nathan sober. Sober.
Yeah, he's the first sober person on our podcast.
Yeah,
this
that's
is gonna
true.
Suck.
For you, for us, it's going to be great.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I figured.
You get to drive us home afterwards. And...
You are home.
Oh, yeah.
How drunk are you already?
I'm pretty drunk.
So, if this is the first time listening to this dumb podcast, you're probably wondering what's going on. What we do is we're counting down the top 105 grossing movies of the 1980s. And while we do, we drink a lot and, I don't know, tell bad jokes.
Yeah, we would do mostly telling the bad jokes because we're already drunk by the time we get to the podcast.
Sure. So. I mean, we drink during the movies, obviously.
Yeah, clearly. And then we drink afterwards. And then after we're done recording the podcast, we drink some more.
Sure.
And then we go. Our life is just this weird cycle of like drunk. Pass out, wake up hungover, go to work, and then immediately get drunk right after.
Yeah.
That's how days turn into weeks and weeks turn into
years. Years turn into my entire fucking life.
Yeah. Why we haven't staged an intervention is beyond me.
It really is. It's on you guys at this point.
It is. I'm partly to blame, definitely. Wow. Yeah. So before this gets any sadder.
Yeah, this is Romancing the Stone.
Yeah.
Which is not a sad movie,
but
a happy one.
1984, this movie pulled in $74.29 million, just shy of the $75 million mark.
Yeah, a fair amount more than Jewel of the Nile talked about, a good 15 episodes or so ago. So
yeah,
after you're done with this episode, you can always go back and listen to our sequel version.
Why did you guys do the sequel first?
Because the way the list works.
It made less money than this.
It made less money, exactly.
Oh, okay.
We're counting down.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay.
To the highest grossing movie of the 1980s, which I'm not going to tell you what it is.
You're going to be pleasantly disappointed, Nathan.
Yeah.
I'll bet.
I already am, yeah. So.
I'll bet. It's a romantic comedy, isn't it?
No.
Whoa. It is the most romantic of comedies.
It's Pretty Woman, isn't it?
No.
Oh, thank God.
Man.
Wait, was that even in the 80s? That was probably like the early 90s.
I think that was early 90s, actually.
1991, probably? Yeah. All right, but we'll see. We'll see. We'll see what it is.
All right, so this is, if you didn't listen to the other one, shame on you. But yeah, Michael Douglas and Kathleen Turner, this is their first kind of romp together.
Yep. Along with, again, aforementioned sultry Danny DeVito.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He has a big gun a lot in this movie. He also has a cigarette in his fucking mouth the whole time.
Yeah, even when he's chewing gum, which...
Even when he's, like, falling off of things.
That's how talented he is.
Yeah. So, Kathleen Turner, it starts off actually with a really cool little bit, which is a Western that's happening, and it's very sexy. This very sexy chick is showing off a lot of cleavage, and this guy shows up with a rifle, and he's like, give me the... I don't remember what he's asking for, because I was looking at her legs.
And, well, and so was he. That's why he got stabbed with a knife.
Exactly. Yeah. And then that's exactly what happens. She, like, throws a knife and kills him. And then, I don't know, banditos are riding around.
Well, she tries to escape. And
it's
she
her
says,
brothers.
Yeah. No, not her brothers. His brothers. She says something like, if there's one law in the West, it's that bastards have brothers. So three guys roll up on horses and try to attack her. But then, from out of the semi-distance on a hilltop.
Silhouetted, our hero appears.
Yeah.
What's his name? What's his
It's
Jack? No, that's
Jesse. Guy.
Oh, yeah, Jesse. Jesse. Yeah, this hero that she made up in her fucking novel.
Right,
because
you find out the whole thing. It's her finishing her most recent book. She is a novelist. She writes romance novels, the very Harlequin, like, Fabio covers. That whole thing. And her particular thing seems to be writing Westerns.
Yeah, and she, but in reality, though, I mean, she's super proud of them, but in reality, she just lives with a fucking cat in an apartment.
Yeah. She's clearly, like, everything about the beginning of the movie is meant to show us that she is lonely and just the most quintessential. She lives with a cat.
Drinks wine.
But specifically, she has single serving bottles of alcohol, not full bottles.
Very sad.
Very sad, right? Yeah. I mean, to me, a full bottle is a single serving, but you know, whatever.
Yeah, that's true.
You do get the idea from this opening scene, though. Like, she's got like a romantic streak in her, and she's probably got a lot of love to give, but she's probably been screwed over a bunch of times.
Well,
and I think she kind of works a lot of that out through her stories. It's not that she's just like a successful romance novelist, which I'm assuming she seems to be successful.
I hate to be like an ingracious host to our guest here, but you are wrong as hell, son.
You're an idiot
for thinking so.
She's sad, damn it.
She's very sad. No, and she does say later that she's a hopeful romantic and all that stuff. But I really got the impression, because right after that, she goes to have lunch or dinner or whatever with her publisher. And the publisher's trying to like point out dudes in the bar and is telling her like, no, I wanted you to get you out of the house, get you to meet some people. And every guy that she points out, Kathleen Turner's character is just like,
Well, actually, that's the agent is too. I mean, when she's going down the list of all these guys,
even once they get to the guy that the agent is all like, hey,
look at this hunk right here.
Kathleen Turner doesn't really even look at him. She just kind of glances over and is like,
I mean, to be fair, he did look like date rape.
Oh, hell yeah.
Like, date rape, put a suit on.
But here's the thing. She doesn't even really look at him. So, because I really think she's not, like, engaging with the world.
I think
that's what it's supposed to be getting out there.
She's waiting for her Jesse. That's, like, exactly. What her publisher, I think,
points out. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, though, back to the 80s fashion thing.
Oh, yeah.
That scene had some terrible fucking fashion.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Hey, but in the day, that got you booty, I guess.
So, like, riding a pussy train.
Yep.
Never gonna derail, just like Patton Oswalt said.
Hell yeah.
Riding a pussy train. And then they're just fucking awful. Again, we've talked a lot about like 80s music. There was some really good 80s music out there.
Meh.
I mean, like Pixies and stuff like that.
Sure.
Underground stuff was good. 80s movies obviously are fucking amazing.
Yeah.
They can be. 80s fashion. We could not get behind that shit, man. Not even a little bit. Like, that was fucking awful.
Yep.
And the only reason that, like, Kathleen Turner is sexy in this is because she's wearing, like, tattered clothes for most of this fucking movie.
That's a good point, actually.
Like, dirty,
she's running
muddy.
Through the jungle, yeah. You can't really, it's hard to keep your shit clean when you're running through the jungle.
Yeah, sliding down one of the funnest toboggan rides I've ever seen in my fucking life.
And I love the reaction to that, too, which is that... Douglas is just fucking ecstatic that, like, that was the funnest thing. Because it looks like it would be the funnest thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he lands between her legs. Yeah. I mean, we're getting a little bit ahead, but he totally lands, like, pussy to his face.
Which I feel like...
Gave him throat cancer.
Yeah.
this movie was where you witnessed the beginning of his throat cancer.
Yeah.
It wasn't Catherine Zeta-Jones. Well, it was later.
Yeah. It was
Kathleen Turner started that.
Yeah, if you want to know what we're talking about, go back to the Jewel of the Nile episode. We talk all about it.
Yeah.
But I also, I was going to say, I feel like every anime has watched this movie. Every person that's ever written a manga or an anime has watched this movie, because every single one has the main character at some time falling into a female and awkwardly positioned.
Face first,
facing
into
some sort of legs
and
legs
shit.
Or, yeah.
A little bit, yeah.
Fucking Kaneda does it like 4 times in Akira, if I can remember. If I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Which you don't, but we'll just go with it.
Yeah.
Right in the end, in the middle of like the Tokyo being destroyed, Neo Tokyo.
Yeah.
He's just like, oh shit, I just fell into a woman's breast. Yes.
His face gets super cartoony and not realistic anymore. Yeah. And then just,
right in the middle of fighting my best friend who's just mutated into a giant whatever the hell, I'd grab your boob. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Oops.
Just kind of happened.
And then she does it like, ha-da-da!
Total accident. Yeah. Well, then she hits him and he flies off like fucking Team Rocket and Pokemon.
Yeah. Damn right.
Super fucking cartoony.
Damn right. Because that's how it's done.
Yeah.
This is where it came from. Yep. This is exactly.
It's from right here.
Michael Douglas.
This is ground zero for that shit.
But yeah, backtrack real quick. So we also established pretty early on that Kathleen Turner's sister is in Colombia and has just lost her husband.
Who was found in pieces, apparently.
Yeah. And
cool.
we see the sister get taken by these dudes, actually by a little kid.
Kid. It's
which
a great
is really great scene. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a great kidnapping scene. First of all, she rides an amazing fucking car.
Some kind of Porsche, like an early Porsche, I guess.
It's like something a Colombian like Porsche or something.
Something, man. It's like, damn.
And and then while she's like walking,
so it's like a knockoff Porsche?
Probably. But it looks the shit, man.
There's it's a just, Porsche, but it's missing the H. Probably.
There's just fucking like shops and shops of the same Porsches. But every time you walk by, there's one guy telling you that, no, come in this shop. This is the one with the best Porsches.
That's how it works.
Now, what can I help you with? You want a Porsche? I got Porsches over here. And then you walk down the street, and the other guy's like, I got Porsches over here.
Yeah.
And Viagra.
Before Viagra was around, at least for us. Yeah. But yeah, the kidnapping scene is great. So, like, she's trying to escape in this Porsche. And then, like, some little kid's playing with, like, some balls on a string or something.
Well, no,
he
it's
looks
the action. Yeah.
And, like, when she's not looking, he throws it. It's one of, I think they call those things a bolo or something.
Yeah,
something like that. Knocks her the hell out. Then he throws her in the car, gets behind the wheel. This kid barely even able to look over the damn dashboard.
And drives away with her.
And fast, too. This
He's cutting.
Oh, this guy's like GTA in it, man. Yeah. Like, he is just.
This is probably where GTA came from.
Yeah, exactly.
It's great.
But yeah, this kid just starts to, and then you're the one that mentioned, that also he's probably fondling her pretty good in that car.
More than likely. I mean, I feel like.
More than likely.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're like 13, well, maybe he's like 11.
Yeah.
11,
he's like 11 12 or
12. Tops.
Yeah. 11 or 12. And you're driving a car already, the coolest fucking Porsche car that you can get in Colombia.
Yeah.
And you got a chick just passed out in your fucking car.
A blonde American, I might add.
Yeah. You're sticking fingers. Yeah. You're sticking fingers in there.
Yeah.
There's fingers are going in there.
You're doing stuff you shouldn't be, but, well, according to your dad and your uncles, you should be. But,
That's
another matter.
Because that's how you prove you're a man, goddammit.
Apparently, yeah. Plus, it was the 80s in Colombia, so, hey. Anything went.
I don't know who trained him to be that cool, but he was fucking cool.
Yeah. And then he never appears in the rest of the movie.
No.
He did his missed opportunity, really.
Yeah, probably. I think so, actually. He could have been a cool henchman. Just the kid.
Yeah. They just hired some kid. Back then you could do that, I guess.
Yeah. Like, I feel like
Colombia,
you can still do it.
In Colombia, when it comes to the kidnapping business, which is a big business, second only to their cocaine business, I feel like you could still hire a kid to just do your kidnapping for you.
Probably. That's the thing. Once they had the kid do the kidnapping, they didn't really need him for anything else.
Yeah.
It's
true.
It's probably not the first time this kid's done this.
I'm sure it's not. It's like, no, the way he handles it is cool as a cucumber.
Yeah. Little
like,
Jimmy,
he's done this before.
Jimmy the Fondler.
That was like the sixth kidnapping he did that week.
Yeah. That's what he's known for.
Yeah.
Jaime the Fondler, actually.
Yeah. Then he runs back and he keeps playing with those friends and shit.
Yeah, yeah. I'll be right back.
He always kidnaps. I mean, he's great at kidnapping. They do come a little fondled. They're fondled when we get them. You're going to get a little pre-fondling.
You got home in time for the soccer match. Yeah. It was fine. It was a good day. It was a good day at the office for that kid. God damn.
Top notch. He does top notch work. Yep. He fondles a bit too much, I think. Maybe a bit high on the fondling, but Still pretty good work, though. Pretty good work.
That's probably like footage that was taken out of the movie where you see him doing that or something. It's like, you know what? Maybe we shouldn't. Like,
yeah, this is a PG movie. Maybe we cut back on the fondling.
That's the one thing that would have made it R.
Yeah.
Zemeckis just like, he's like, we shot a lot of fondling, but it's not really working in the cut.
Yeah.
I wonder, can we add some sort of like dream sequence later on where we just see fondling. The fondling in it?
Then they end up just fucking dropping the whole thing all together.
Or like the actor shows up at the screen and be like, I noticed you didn't end up using the fondling, but I remember when we were shooting it, you were saying how important it was we get the fondling.
There was 14 takes.
It was like a major detail in the story.
We did so many takes of me fondling that lady. We were all very uncomfortable, and you kept saying we had to do more fondling, and then you didn't use any of it.
What the hell?
Maybe that's what he's known for.
I guess Robert Zemeckis, saying, is a huge pervert. I guess is what we're getting at.
Have you seen him?
Yeah.
I'd say so, yeah.
Just on sight?
Yeah, yeah.
He fails the sight test?
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
The pervert sight test.
I want to see him near a school.
That's a good that's a good way to mention that Robert Zemeckis directed this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding. We just kind of plopped out. Yeah.
Robert Zemeckis, who is a great director, who I like. Well, you're a ridiculous person. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, yeah.
See, I knew this was going to come up.
Yeah. But we'll it's get kind of that. Hard not to because it's Zemeckis.
Yeah, it's Robert Zemeckis. Yeah.
So we'll get right to it. I mean, Zemeckis probably most famously directed the Back to the Future movies, which I think all sane individuals would agree are great movies.
All normal people have ever seen them.
Yep.
Fuck all three.
Yeah.
But he also made other movies. I think one of his other, maybe a little more famous than the Back to the Future, would probably Forrest Gump. That's a major one on his resume.
There, yeah, Forrest Gump. Yeah. One of his better movies, too.
For sure.
Pretty amazing. Yeah.
That one I do kind of... pissy about it. Yeah, remember the whole Pulp Fiction thing? Used to think it was kind of heavy-handed, which I still kind of do.
Yeah, totally.
But now, I don't know. I can kind of go with it. It's fine. I don't watch it like once a year like I might do with Pulp Fiction or some other movies, but...
Yeah. Me and Nathan, we went to high school together. And back in 94, I was 3 years old. He was 45. And we actually hated Forrest Gump quite a bit because we loved Pulp Fiction so much.
Oh yeah,
and because it went up against it for the Academy Awards, and obviously lost to Forrest Gump.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just like, no, fuck that shit. Pulp Fiction all the way, which I still say Pulp Fiction all the way.
Oh, definitely.
For that year, I can't remember what else was up for that year.
Me neither.
But I do remember those were the two. Yeah. But Pulp Fiction, man, I watched that.
And I'm pretty sure we're not the only ones who are like, no, Pulp Fiction definitely should have beat Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
I'm sure Tarantino's one of those people. And he's right.
I would hope so.
But yeah, I mean, Robert Zemeckis has got a long resume to go.
Yeah, Castaway, Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Yeah. This is one of his earlier, it's not his first movie, I don't think. But it is his earliest ones.
But no, Zemeckis is a very talented, very fucking famous director.
Yeah.
And he does a very amazing job at directing this movie. It's a really well-directed movie.
I did actually, really quick to go back, there's a really great line early on in the film where as they're narrating over the Western part, or as Kathleen Turner's narrating over the Western part, she's talking about how this guy has done her wrong and like all the stuff that he took from her and he killed this and did this and that. And the last thing is, he stole her Bible.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Stole.
Stole her Bible. Which
Dunn stole her Bible.
Yeah. Dunn stole her Bible. What?
And this pissed her off more than him killing her dad. And,
like raping her sister.
Burning down their farm, apparently, too.
Yeah. No, I think that's I don't know, like something about stealing a Bible.
Mm-hmm. Back then, though, I think back then in like the Old West type of times, like.
But
sisters
also,
just
like,
got raped. Yeah,
guys got shot. Sure,
but Bibles, though.
Well, but also,
it's
like,
the Lord's work.
Why would you like the very act of stealing that thing? That means that you don't believe in it. One would think
that was just insult to injury, probably.
Yeah. He knew it was going to bother her. She was like, he probably knew she was a hardcore Christian and stuff, and like, raped her sister.
I shot
her dad. What else can I do? Bible. Oh, this is going to piss her off good. Takes off with it.
The family Bible.
Yeah. Damn.
It was like, now that I'm done shooting paws and
raping
sisters.
That's true. And books were super valuyable back in the day. So.
Yeah.
They were handwritten.
Yeah.
There was a scribe.
Everyone knows that the Old West took place before the Gutenberg Bible and the printing press. So.
That's right.
Well, that, history, that's history, according to this podcast.
Set in stone, thank you.
Yeah. Well, and the Bible was actually in stone, of course.
Of course, naturally. Just a bunch of stones. It must have been chiseled by Moses himself.
Yeah, it was a lot of rocks. They would just, that's how they would pick up a rock and move it, and then it'd be like, and then.
It's like, well, you see these three rocks stacked up means don't be gay.
Yeah. All rocks stacked up mean don't be gay.
Which I have a beef with, thank you. He probably needed a bunch of horses to steal this Bible, then, if there's that many rocks, my God.
Yeah, it was a whole train robbery situation.
Oh, it must have been a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
It was sucked.
Chiseled Bible. But yeah, no, he definitely stole her Bible.
Yep.
And that's what he deserved to die.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Knife to the heart.
Yeah. He goes out kind of gangster. That's a cool way to go. We talked before about cool deaths.
Yeah.
Knife to the heart's pretty good.
Yeah. My hat's off to her for...
Reminds me a lot of the ending scene of the Dolph Lundgren Punisher, where he totally throws a knife into a dude's, like, forehead.
Yeah.
It's pretty dope.
Not a dude. It was a woman, and she was the head of the Yakuza.
The head of the Yakuza.
And she's like cackling maniacally at something, but he comes bursting through a paper wall, throws a knife right in the forehead.
Right through the fucking forehead.
Yeah.
Damn.
That was a good Punisher.
It was pretty badass.
It was.
Fuck yeah.
Maybe not as good as the current fucking Netflix Punisher. I don't know, but that hasn't started yet, so.
Yeah.
Time will tell.
I mean, the Punisher has not had the best
movie run.
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
His film experiences have not necessarily been the greatest.
Not really.
Yeah. Who was the guy that played him in that? Because it was Thomas Jane.
It's Thomas Jane and then Ray Stevenson.
Ray Stevenson. That's the fucking guy. Who was a pretty good looking Punisher.
Yeah, he looked the part.
He looked a lot like the drawings John Romita Jr. did of him on his run in the comics. That's why I was excited when I saw him. I was like, oh, he looks a lot like the John Romita Jr. comic drawings, man. Shit.
Yeah.
And I saw the movie. I'm like,
yeah, then he cries. All
right,
and
kinda... guy's full of pain, right?
He locks that way away, man. He locks that away. He doesn't cry.
He shoots motherfuckers in the face.
That's what he does. Does. That's his tears are lead. Yeah, he cries straight into people's hearts
or faces or necks or whatever.
Whatever's in the way.
Body parts. Yeah.
Whatever part of your body is in the way of his crying. We'll call it.
Yeah. There you go.
That's what gets torn up to pieces.
Yeah.
Punisher cries at you. And kills
through a machine gun.
There was a time in like the right after he was introduced that because Marvel didn't want one of their heroes just rolling around just murdering people left and right, that he used something called mercy bullets.
Which was it like rubber bullets?
I guess were supposed to be rubber bullets because they just didn't kill people. They would just like knock them out.
Was this like in the first time he popped up in Spider-Man?
No, it was shortly after that. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
But yeah, mercy bullets.
Mercy bullets. Yeah.
Damn. Okay. For when you want to shoot a motherfucker. But you're feeling a little merciful today.
Yeah, which I feel like then don't shoot a motherfucker.
Yeah.
Like
that's not an option. Man.
That did not last long.
This is America, sir. Not shooting a motherfucker is not an option.
Not an option, no. No.
Put that motherfucker down.
Yeah, it's your right and your duty as an American to shoot a motherfucker.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's how this country was founded.
Yep.
That's where it's headed.
Well, this did get far from the stone. You guys told me this happens a lot, but I had no idea until now.
We do tend to ramble.
So what happens anyway? So okay, was it okay? Yeah, okay.
So the sister gets kidnapped, and then they call
Kathleen Turner,
and are like, "You have to bring this map because right before he died, the sister's husband mailed her this map to." What do they call it, actually?
El Corazon.
Is it just El Corazon?
Yeah.
Which is...
just means the heart.
God damn it, I was going to do a joke there, but all right, yeah, it just means the heart.
Yeah, cool. I mean, my facts are better than your jokes, but whatever.
This is true. But yeah, so like before he got chopped up into pieces, he sends it to Kathleen Turner. Now she's got to take it down to Colombia to Cinema City? They say it so often, I can't remember what it's called now. What the hell?
I can't remember what it's called.
Oh, my God. No. I want to say Guaymas. That's not it. That's in Mexico somewhere.
Nogales.
Yeah.
Take it down to...
Red Hook, New Jersey. Red Hook, Colombia.
Cananea. I can't remember what the fuck is it what called. I can't remember what it's called. But this movie, shot in Mexico. It was shot like in Veracruz in Mexico.
It turns out.
So we're going to see it like it's just Mexican people walking around.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, like you pointed out, Colombian people, Mexican people.
Cartagena.
Oh, there you go.
There is the name of the city, which I don't know, might be the capital of Columbia. I'm not sure.
I don't know if that's a real city or not, actually. I don't know.
No, actually it is. Okay. It really is, yeah. I found out later. I thought it was a fake city made for the movie, too, but no, it's a real deal.
Because Bogota, I think, is the capital, right?
I have no idea. Columbia? Maybe. It might be that.
Soccer City? Is that a city in Columbia?
If it's not in Columbia, it's somewhere in Latin America. It's somewhere down there.
Is soccer, cocaine, and coffee a city? Because that's the only things I know about Columbia.
Yeah, pretty
that's
much.
All I know about Columbia.
That's it. That's all we got to go on, folks. I'm sorry. Our apologies to anyone from Columbia. Yeah. But
I know the CIA ran a lot of black ops in the 80s there. That's that's a thing.
They had a good time, I think.
I apologize because you said soccer and not football.
That's true. Ooh, I'm sorry.
That's right. That is. Yeah. Ooh, damn.
Yeah, we don't apologize for anything that we say here except for that.
Except for that.
This might be the last podcast. Oh, shit. But yeah, so she's got to go take the map down there. So she heads down there, but then things get derailed.
Right, because she gets some faulty information from a mysterious gentleman that's been following her ever since New York.
Yeah, so it's this whole, okay. So Danny DeVito is part of the guys that kidnapped.
Right,
it's Danny DeVito and his cousin.
Yeah,
kidnapped her sister, but then there's this other guy who's just kind of following. He's like got wind of it, and he's following her, and then he tricks her.
He murders a dude in New York. Yeah, for no real reason.
He kills up a janitor for no fucking reason.
Yeah, yeah, well, yeah, I mean, true, he sees him trying to break into Kathleen Turner's
apartment. He's a witness, but at the same time, it's... So?
Yeah, he could just be like, oh, I thought this was my place.
Or not even my place. Like, isn't this my sister, you know, Roberta? Sarah?
Yeah.
Like, I thought this was her apartment.
I feel like in New York, you could just be like, oh, I'm trying to break into this place. And the janitor guy is like,
get out of here,
all right, cool.
Plus, it's New York. It's just going to be one more dead body and swimming, floating in the river. And I don't know what
the heck. Yeah, 80s New York, right?
He just needed to kill somebody. He probably hadn't killed anybody in a while.
Yeah,
maybe that was it.
The rivers are more bodies than they are water.
Oh, yeah, pretty much.
That's what makes the bread taste so good.
Oh, dear God.
It's just floating.
So there's actually there's actually two sets of villains going after this map.
Right.
So
it's not just... So eventually, she meets up with Michael Douglas.
So she gets on the wrong bus.
Wrong bus, yeah.
The bus smashes into Michael Douglas's fucking Jeep
because of her.
Because of her.
She's distracting the driver
with her white bosom, I would say.
Yeah. Probably. More likely.
Yeah, and then Michael Douglas is like, "What the fuck is going on?" And then that guy shoots at him, and then they have a cool little shootout.
Right.
And then they end up. Hooking up. Not hooking up.
Hooking up. Because she's like, I'm trying to get a Cartagena.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, you're way off. Like, it's way over on the other side of the country, blah, blah, blah. It's like, I'm not going to. And she's like, well, can you take me? He's like, nah, I got shit to do.
She's like, I will pay you.
And he's like, oh, how much? And so after a little negotiating, they eventually agree that for $375, he will take her there.
Which, in travel checks.
Adjusted for inflation, that's $14.2 million today.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's not
Damn.
Bad.
That's a good payday. That's a good payday.
But as he talks about later, the birds that the people stole from his crashed Jeep were worth $30,000. Didn't he say? Or what?
Yeah,
$15,000.
Yeah, $15,000. Yeah. Everything altogether. He kind of breaks it down a little bit. But
which again, adjusted for inflation, I think is like
$2 billion.
The net worth of Microsoft.
Probably.
It's like $2 billion worth of birds that he had in the back of that thing.
Yeah.
Which, what the fuck was he doing leaving those birds? Well, I guess he had to walk away.
He had to go get other birds.
Yeah.
He either had to go get, because he didn't have any birds with him. He either had to get water in that pouch that the bad guy, Zolo, that's his name, Zolo,
shoots.
Or he had to go take a leak or something.
He went far for a leak.
He's modest.
You can just piss in the middle of the fucking road, I think.
Damn.
And you're right. The bus will just go around you.
Yeah, but he's an American. He's not a damn savage.
That's true.
Okay, good point.
as stated by Nathaniel.
That's right.
Non-Americans, savages.
Yeah. We all are.
But what fucking birds? Like, why are birds such a big business? I had no idea.
It's like tropical birds.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
People pay a lot of money for like parrots and shit.
Yeah. If you took it to paint a fucking pigeon, fuck you, man. Just paint the pigeon green. That's all you fucking need. All the other people on the fucking bus, they immediately stole his fucking birds and bounced.
Yeah, that's because they all know it's a big business.
Yeah, because he had 15 grand worth of fucking birds.
It might actually still be a big business. I don't know. Maybe. Who knows?
So after that point, that's when you have the water slide incident. And yeah. then you also have them find this crashed plane full of marijuana.
Yeah. yeah.
And just the coolest skeleton that has ever been.
Yeah, he's got like fucking sunglasses. Like the this guy, John Lennon sunglasses on. This guy has
crashed a plane into the jungle. Mm-hmm.
Full of pot.
Still has his sunglasses and headphones on.
And he's halfway out the window, actually, out the outside yeah. window.
Those, and he's got those a Grateful sunglasses. Dead vest on. Yeah, he has a yeah. Grateful Dead, a little on the nose, but yeah, Grateful yeah. Dead vest on. But yeah, his sunglasses are so integral to who he is as a person yeah, that he never... kept that shit on while he was crashing a plane and flying through the window.
That's right.
It was just like left engine out, like right engine out. Everybody brace yourself, and he just like, puts like
yeah. he's just holding his sunglasses on the whole time.
If I won't die, I'm gonna die cool.
Yeah. Oh, and he's gonna leave a did.
Beautiful corpse. yeah.
Yeah. Nobody can deny that. Nobody.
He smashed straight out the fucking window, hanging out, sunglasses still on his fucking head.
Mm-hmm. So then they also find a bottle of tequila in the airplane.
Sweet, sweet.
Yeah.
So between tequila and burning. A lot of fucking weed.
Copious amounts of weed.
To keep warm.
To keep warm, to evidently.
Keep warm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then there's that great shot where he's just like inhaling the big giant puff yeah. of smoke.
Face
of it.
First, yeah.
Yeah. And then we talked that after that he would just be catatonic. Like, there's a lot of fucking weed.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I mean, it was
they don't act
up that...
nearly as high. Like, they act yeah. a little high.
Yeah.
But they are burning. Just so kilos. Much weed, man.
Kilos of fucking weed.
They're smoking crops of weed at this point.
Yeah. And like, I don't know how bad the weed was.
Who knows? It probably was, like we said, it was probably weak-ass weed. It was like, yeah, who knows?
And was it getting smuggled in or out?
I would I think out, probably out. Knows?
Yeah, why the hell would you smuggle it in? Jungle? Yeah. Yeah, it was probably, we got to assume it was probably going out, but it didn't make it.
Oh, there's that part with the snake.
But they bond. Yeah. They bond yeah. because they finally start talking because that loosens them up. So yeah. they start talking sure. amongst each other. Then also,
she finally asks him his name, which is a bitchy thing.
Yeah.
To do like they've been through already half an adventure already. Yeah. And she says, "Oh, by the way, I never got your fucking name."
Yeah, they've been shot at a couple of times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they rode that awesome smud toboggan. Yeah. Mud toboggan that they fucking really
he had
like
his
to do.
Head just right up in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And still, yeah, no name. Yeah.
Face, mouth to vagina.
Mouth to vagina. head halfway in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And then she was like, my word.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, that's what
yes.
she says.
Yeah. Yes,
yes. yeah. And then he's
she
like,
slapped him thrice across the cheek,
as was their wont,
and then started fanning herself, I believe.
Yeah, and trying not to faint. And he was like, ah, you old prude.
Then she had to help go have a mint julep on the porch.
yeah, as rich people in 1984.
In 1984, definitely.
As they were wont to
that's,
do.
That's yeah. totally what 1984.
Yeah, 1984 mint juleps and
fans.
Monocles and shit.
Yeah. So they loosen up, start talking. Then, yeah, he saves her from a poisonous snake that then they eat.
Presumably,
and
at least.
Presumably. He
yeah,
talks
he
about
said this. It's pretty delicious. Yeah.
I'm sure he did, but she probably didn't touch it.
Well, and there's he pops something into his mouth that I assume was a piece of snake.
Probably.
Oh, yeah.
Snake
yeah.
tricky.
Yeah.
Viagra. He was like also, anticipating. He was like, I'm going to get laid tonight.
Yeah.
But, I better get ready.
Yeah. But,
but he did the same problem that a lot of people did. Too much drugs and alcohol, ended up falling asleep.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he correctly popped the Viagra because he's like, first of all, this is new pussy. I, you know, like pressure's on and all that stuff. I gotta yeah. like impress.
He probably hasn't had American pussy in a while.
Yeah,
he's been down there in a while.
Dirty, yeah. disgusting Colombian hooker pussy. Which you can't just go down there and just like fall in love with a chick. It's all hooker. and then so he does that correctly, but then he falls asleep. Like you said, mm-hmm. you should have stayed awake.
Also, the airplane scene actually has the saddest moment in the film. It's like the only sad moment in the film where there's an old Rolling Stone and he's flipping through it. He finds out that the Doobie Brothers have broken up.
Oh,
wait
yeah.
a minute. The Doobie Brothers have broken up?
Yeah.
Oh,
he finds out and he's like, well, how long have I been down here? How old is this? Damn, you know, and that's kind of... I think that kind of shakes him to the core, and
yeah, there, it's a long yeah. shot of his face, yeah. and then like it's,
there's 5 minutes of just slow camera yeah. in as Sound of Silence plays.
Yeah, so many like, emotions yeah. happening in his face,
just an acting tour de force.
Yeah, we all cried. We all cried a little bit watching.
It really
yeah.
does get you. It really does.
Whilst watching that,
we had to hold each other a little bit. Yeah. We got through it. We got yeah. through it.
Then I immediately Googled Doobie Brothers because I can't remember what song that they sang.
Yeah. Turns out it was a shitty song.
Yeah.
Fuck the Doobie Brothers.
It might have been. That wasn't probably. Dixieland. Yeah, I
think so.
They mentioned Dixieland in one of their songs.
That's how much we know the Doobie Brothers.
Because fuck the Doobie Brothers.
That it's like, what's their greatest song? Is it Dixieland? You didn't even like...
Michael McDonald was in that band at one point. That should tell you something.
No confidence in your answer.
Yeah.
I know I've heard them. Yeah. I listen to classic rock sometimes.
I know of them. Yeah. I know they came out in an episode of that old sitcom, What's Happening.
Deep cut, son.
It was an episode about bootlegging concerts and stuff.
Oh,
like,
really?
Did they
have to like talk them to be like
kind of like
that's not right.
The thing is like the fat kid in the what was his name Rerun?
Yeah,
he was being coerced by somebody to like go into the concert with a tape recorder to bootleg a Doobie Brothers show. And I remember him like because the show was so good and stuff. He's bouncing up and down with everybody, and then the fucking recorder falls out of his shirt.
Oh, and everybody's like,
but then they turn around on the bootleggers somehow. I can't remember how. I haven't seen this in a while. But yeah, the Doobie Brothers were in a fucking episode.
Which back then, like in 1980, a tape recorder that you had in your pocket in the 70s was the greatest audio quality
you could possibly get.
Yeah.
Shoved down your shirt or pants, whatever.
A 1978 pocket tape recorder shoved down your fucking pants.
Yep.
It's the best way to fucking bootleg a concert.
Yeah. All those Led Zeppelin bootlegs from back then, that's how they did it.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
It wasn't from the soundboard and any of that shit. Bullshit.
And then all the Doobie Brothers had to show up and be like, hey,
there was
listen.
Like 20 of them. We got like 20 of those motherfuckers on stage. Jesus.
We all have to talk to you, Rerun.
Yeah,
about bootlegging.
They sit down, turned their chairs around, set backwards in them, spun their hat around.
Yeah. Let me rap at you.
Like, God.
We're going to go Doobie Brother number one all the way through 20.
Oh, shit.
All right, telling you how
we all got something to say.
Everybody's
got
to go to the bathroom. Do it now.
Yeah. How about bootlegging?
But yeah, they like turned around on the bootleggers somehow. They caught them or whatever, and like Rerun was off the hook and stuff.
I'm very proud of you as our guest, Nathan, because I feel like this episode, maybe more than any others, we have avoided talking about the movie.
Yeah.
Wow.
Also, Google that. I want to see that fucking Rerun.
It's got to be on YouTube.
Yeah.
I bet it's yelled at by YouTube. Yeah.
It would be awesome if he was getting yelled at by the Doobie Brothers.
I can't remember if they yelled at him, but yeah, that would be cool. Fuck
yeah. Yeah. Like, they take him to
I feel like a band called the Doobie Brothers should be pretty chill.
Chill, yeah.
You would think. Hey, not about bootlegging. No, that's serious.
That's their money, man.
That's a bread and butter, man.
It's the Doobie money, man. Exactly. They can't be letting that slide.
Destroying hotel rooms, that's cool.
Yeah. But our Doobie money comes from our sponsors.
Yep.
Oh, sponsor time. Let's talk about some sponsors.
So People's Choice Video, as always, for providing the movie. Mm-hmm. They are your go-to spot in Southern Arizona for movies, for video games, for adult films. You can buy, you can rent, and they got stuff that you're not going to find really anywhere else.
Yeah. You want to watch Outer Mind Seeing Stone tomorrow on Blu-ray, you can get it from there.
And you watch Jewel of the Nile and make it a double feature.
Yeah. So thank you, People's Choice, for providing the movie, as always.
Yeah. Also, thank you to Beer Geek Bakery.
Yeah, we did get some snacks tonight, some sweets.
Yeah, we got some sweets tonight. And if this is your first time listening, Beer Geek does the most amazing thing, which is puts beer in like brownies and stuff.
Yeah, stuff that you wouldn't normally think would have any kind of alcohol in it. But our friend Emma has found a way to do that, and it's
pretty damn delicious.
Working pretty good. I don't even drink. But I like snacking on these things. It's pretty good stuff.
Beer Kids goodies. She's got an event, I think, August 3rd in Tucson.
Yeah, I think there's two events coming up in August, so definitely follow the Instagram and the Facebook.
Facebook again.
Yeah, no, follow her specific Facebook. I'm not Facebook as a concept. The page that she has.
Follow the idea of Facebook. The page Facebook. Can you follow the Facebook?
No.
Does Facebook have a page?
Like Tom on MySpace, you used to be able to be friends with him.
Yeah, no, that's right. That was your first friend.
Yeah, he was your first
automatic.
Yeah.
I was your first friend with that picture.
You can friend request Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah?
Yeah.
We're probably not going to.
His publicist or his fucking
No, he's never goes on. He hasn't been on Facebook
since saw the social network.
1999. Yeah.
No. But it's like every other business has a fucking Facebook. Does Facebook have a Facebook?
Probably.
I think.
Yeah, right?
But it probably does. It almost seems like that would be redundant.
No, it's incredibly redundant.
So follow them.
Yeah, yeah.
But also follow Beer Geek Bakery on Facebook and Instagram.
Definitely those.
And you can follow us, of course, but also People's Choice Video. And mainly us. Follow. Are you not following us on Facebook? What are you doing with your lives, people?
Assholes. What the fuck is going on? What's
wrong with you, man? Shit.
Yeah. You heard the man. I was very loud yelling at your face.
Yeah. In your ears. I assume you have headphones on right now. So
so that teaches that you hurts. A lesson.
That you should follow us.
Yeah. Yeah. Now your ear butter is all over the place.
Oh my God.
Was that, well, after we started recording, or was that something we talked about beforehand? I can't even remember at this point.
I have another scotch.
Yeah, all
right. I'll remember it then.
That's got to be the name of our R&B cover band.
Have another scotch.
Ear butter. Ear butter. Sweet, yeah. Sweet ear butter. Which
that's our first single, I feel like.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
It's the name of the album.
Yeah, it's the name of the album.
It's a t-shirt. Exactly. It's a fucking, it's our catchphrase.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sweet. Here's ear butter.
Ear butter.
There's already a song.
Yeah. Oh, that sweet ear butter. Yeah, girl.
Breaking conventions.
I'm gonna butter your ears, baby. I'm gonna butter me.
Yeah, that's like the talk breakdown.
What kind of music are we playing?
Oh, when that ear gets off. Baby making music. That's what kind.
Like sweet R&B. Are we like
all of the above, man?
There's already a population explosion on this planet. Well, we're not helping.
We're all beautiful young teenagers that are excellent dancers. So I think boy bands.
Yeah.
Definitely.
There's a three of us, so that's perfect for a boy band.
For a boy band,
absolutely.
Yeah, we'll pick up. We got to pick up like the token uggo.
We'll pick up one ugly guy.
Yeah.
Why are you guys looking at me? Yeah, fuck both y'all.
We'll pick up another ugly guy.
God damn it.
Jonas Brothers. Or a super young guy.
Like a 12-year-old or something?
Yeah. Like that, to really bring in the...
Really bring in the preteen the girls. Yeah.
Or whatever
we're
called.
So getting arrested.
Yeah, because I do feel like every time we'd be hanging out, we'd be like, hey, Jeremy, here, have some scotch.
Of course his name's Jeremy.
Jeremy?
What else is it going to be?
I don't know.
Of course.
We're just like, hey, Jeremy, come over here and bang this groupie with us.
He's always like,
I'm 12.
I'm supposed to call my parents, guys. I'm supposed to call my parents. No, shut up,
Jeremy. Come eat this hooker.
Come on.
Call his parents. Get a little of the square, guys.
I'll call your parents. What movie were we watching again?
So they finally connected a little bit after their plane.
A smidge.
After the plane sequence. Yeah. And they continue walking.
Well, that's when they say, right? That's when they make the pact that they're going to go after the...
No.
No. Okay.
First...
Not quite yet. But this is like the scene where I think he first finds out about the map and why she has brought it down to Colombia, why she needs it. And he's already got the idea that maybe... Actually, what if we don't go straight
He's definitely
Cartagena?
Got that idea.
Yeah.
But
he's
first,
a conniving.
They need a car.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Badly. That's right. They do need a car.
So they're in this tiny little village...
Just
and
followed by six dudes.
Yeah. And these six dudes tell them there is one car in the village and it's owned by this guy.
Mm-hmm.
So they go to this guy's house, knock on the door.
And it's Alfonso Arau. Arau is a very famous Mexican director. He did like Water for Chocolate and Walk in the Clouds. He was also...
It's also El Guapo.
El Guapo. And
the infamous El Guapo.
Three Amigos. One of probably the silliest movie ever made, which is why it's so much fun.
I love that movie. I watched that movie on repeat as a child.
It's the only movie that you're going to know who Alfonso Arau is. As soon as you see him, you're
that's
like,
his biggest
that's
role.
El Guapo,
yeah, exactly.
It's his biggest role. Yeah. Anybody, you mentioned Three Amigos and El Guapo. You're going to know who this guy is.
Yeah. So he's like this drug dealer who also happens to own a car.
Which must be a weird thing for him to be like super famous, successful filmmaker and actor in Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
But then as soon as he crosses the border, they're like, oh, yeah, you're El Guapo from Three Amigos, right?
Yeah,
and that's
exactly.
It.
Yep.
What am I playing here? Oh, you're playing like a fucking drug dealer in the Colombia.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Am I like a serious drug? No, you're a stupid, silly drug dealer.
Of course, this was before Three Amigos.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Like,
it was around the same time.
Well, Three Amigos was like 88.
No, it wasn't. It was like 85 because they made Three Amigos the year that Lauren Michaels didn't do SNL.
That was
the whole reason they did Three Amigos because he was off SNL for a year. Yeah.
Wow, weird.
So it was like 85, I think it came out.
Look it up. I'm pretty sure it was 87, 88.
No shit.
Watch.
I don't know. Geek cred on the line.
Yeah, let's see. Google it.
I don't have much cred for anything, frankly. But
86.
86, damn.
Yeah, right in the middle.
Right in the middle. Between both of you motherfuckers,
I said 85, you said 87, 87 so, 86. You know, it's pretty good.
So, I say I was right then.
You didn't say shit.
I said 86. Right now, you guys heard me. Off of the Google computer. He's got computer. Us there.
God damn it.
I checked on the Facebook.
Francisco.
For the love of cheese.
Your cheating ways have won you yet another bet.
Yeah, time. I know. Why would you not cheat? I don't understand why people don't cheat.
Every goddamn time.
But anyway.
So he has... It turns out, like, at first he pulls a gun on them.
Yeah.
And it looks like things are going to go very badly. Yeah,
it's two Americans in his town asking for a car or a phone or whatever. What the hell is this about?
Yeah, we're just going to shoot them and leave their body for the dogs, I guess.
Yeah.
Are the llamas, which we see later.
there's one llama.
There's like one llama.
There's two llamas.
There's also a lot of chickens and cows running around in the streets that you see later on. So he probably just feeds them to every damn animal that's out there.
Yeah, that's true.
Just leave them in the middle of the main road. Something will eat them.
Yeah. Man-eating chickens.
Yeah.
They're famous for that shit.
Oh, yeah.
That Colombian man-eating chickens. Google that. Yeah. Guys, Google that. It's a real thing. Mm-hmm. That's totally a real thing
that now I feel like we should trademark and do as a comic book.
Yeah, man-eating chickens.
Yep. Which is why I don't think the colonel from KFC was actually died of natural causes. I think it was a revenge.
Why do you
think
they've gone through so many colonels?
Yep.
That's true. Just continuously being eaten by
the chickens.
They're not putting fucking those rose-colored glasses on the chickens. You ever seen that? Like, because they the pecking order or whatever, right? Like,
exactly.
If they see blood, they'll just continue to peck until they're all fucking dead for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what happens.
That's a society that should not exist. Yeah.
So, but it does.
What are you saying?
No, just because we're running kind of long. So, it turns out he's a huge fan of Joan Wilder, of Kathleen Turner's books, mm-hmm. and her as an author, read all of her stuff,
and immediately agrees.
Yeah. And all the hoodlums. There's a great line, too, where he talks about he reads it to them every Sunday.
Yeah.
Which you were saying.
It turns out they're all
sit around and listen to him read their fucking love, like the romance
the
novels,
romance novels. Yep.
To them. Yeah.
So
these are guys that are like, obviously, they're up to no good. They're all packing guns. They all look like extras in a fucking Sam Peckinpah Western, almost.
Yeah, well,
I mean, they all look like extras from, like, Narcos or something.
Yeah, exactly. That, too, man. They would have fit right in.
Yeah. So, but he immediately agrees to help them. They have a big car chase with the, what's his name again? Zolo?
With Zolo.
Zolo and his, because you find out he's a cop.
He's like a corrupt federal. He's got his own crew of guys that show up at night with the sunglasses and his uniform.
Yeah,
and he takes them to go chase these our two heroes down.
And their whole thing is they want the jewel, right?
Yeah,
they want the heart. They have this big car chase. They get away, and then they just decide to like chill in a meadow for a while.
Yeah.
Michael Douglas reads a book. Kathleen Turner kind of sexes up a little bit,
picking flowers.
Yeah. Finally, they get to the town. Michael Douglas checks out a hotel and starts making the moves. Because by this point, he's definitely like, I want this map. Mm-hmm. I want this jewel. I don't give a shit about the rest of this nonsense. And also, let's fuck. Let's get some pussy in there.
Yeah.
So they have a like the romantic dance sequence where he's
there's like a festival that night in the
sexually charged. The whole time Danny DeVito is Danny DeVitoing it up all around.
Chasing them, and then he gets beat up by a fat lady because he was like under the table snooping and all that stuff.
And she thinks he was like trying to, you know, Michael Douglas her vagina.
Yeah.
Probably.
Which I feel like is what I'm going to call it now.
Which when you look at him, well, you can't really blame the lady. I mean, I would have assumed the same thing.
He was throat cancering her vagina.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
He does look like a troll man, so yeah.
That's Mitch.
Yeah, a little bit.
So then they get to Bone Town, if I remember.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, they go straight to the Bone Zone.
They look deep into each other's eyes during the dance sequence, and it goes from that to you see them, apparently they're post-coitus already.
Immediately post-coitus, because they're still like wrapped around.
Posed really conveniently so that you don't see nipple, although
unless you have Blu-ray.
Exactly.
So Eagle Eye Francisco over here.
I saw nipple. And
we've talked a lot about how this is your mutant power.
Yeah, my mutant power is I can spot nipple from a fucking mile away, or ass too. Yeah. Any type of like nudity that you did not know was there, I can spot it, and I totally spotted nipple. Mm-hmm. And we went back and saw it. Yeah, Kathleen Turner has some long nipples. Just one flash. It was like two frames.
Long
nipple.
If that, it was like a frame and a half.
Yeah. It was there. I saw it.
You saw more of Michael Douglas's nipple.
Yeah.
But then the light was hitting that just right, so you could see it. So,
So I mean, I think the high definition.
Yes. Yeah.
Because I feel like back on VHS,
you could not see that at all. It would just be black.
Like we were talking about, like, that whole sequence is intact when we used to play on TV a long time ago.
It's just you couldn't fucking see it.
Yeah, it was all dark and stuff. They probably didn't even know it was there. And yeah, they didn't have to do with it at all. They probably didn't know about it until they put it on HD and when they get back to test it, they see how it looks, man. Yeah, it looks really good.
I don't think they probably don't know it now. Yeah. Francisco's the only pervert that's good enough to probably. Fucking, that's
this was the first power, time anyone noticed it, and it happened in here.
Yeah,
in this apartment, we're breaking in Tucson, news Arizona. Right here.
Yeah,
we're that's breaking all. News. We're
It's gonna. I'm the one that broke it, and take credit for it.
That's gonna be all over YouTube.
It's gonna be running on the little scroll at the bottom of CNN, and they'll have to credit this podcast. It'll have to be Francisco Landin of the Blockbuster Nostalgia Podcast.
It'll be between whatever stupid thing Trump is doing and whoever famous has died lately. Now this time, who knows? By this point, actually, something that we haven't talked about. The reason Michael Douglas is trying to get rich and stuff, I mean, there's actually a specific reason for it. He wants to buy the sailboat so he can sail off into the rest of his days, just spend the rest of his days sailing. And
so, wait a minute. You're saying, because this is pretty far-fetched, you're saying that a guy wants to make enough money to not work.
I don't know.
I think that's what I'm saying.
That doesn't sound right.
No. I mean, especially if your job is wandering into the jungle collecting birds.
Well, I mean, hey, I could do that all the rest of my life. We've talked about this a lot of times. Sober, too. Not drunk.
Yeah, no, this is the dream.
Oh, yeah.
The absolutely. American dream.
Catching cockatoos is, in
I Colombia. Thought the American dream.
Spice finches? I don't know.
The American dream is catching cockatoos in Colombia.
In Colombia, absolutely. Yeah.
For like 8 years just to fucking make ends meet.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I'd be doing that right now.
I feel like that was not his first $15,000 truck. Like, he had before. He's been good.
He blew it all on Colombian hookers and blow.
Yeah. Yep. Well, yeah, I mean.
I was like, how am I going to get out of this, man? I can go catch birds.
Yeah. There is no way that he was not doing a whole bunch of fucking blow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's how you pass the time.
Yeah. What else are you going to do?
In the 80s, here we were playing Nintendo over there. Just blow.
Yeah. Sweet, sweet blow. But yeah, so, he wants this.
He wants a sailboat. Anyways, after they fuck, finally Kathleen Turner's like, "Yeah, what let's you go. Say is good.
Let's go get the stone for ourselves. Yeah, and, see if we can use that.
Yeah, you say good things. They you.
Exactly,
especially through your dick."
She says that. I remember her.
Yeah, she does say that.
That's an actual quote from the film.
Yep.
Look it up.
So they track down the jewel. They find it really easily, actually. It's super super quick. There's no Indiana Jones fucking temple quest. This isn't Tomb Raider. Yeah. They just walk in there. They're like, oh, here it is.
Yep.
But Danny DeVito pulls a gun on him. Yep. Enter into this huge chase sequence where Zolo, Danny DeVito, all of them are after the jewel. Eventually, they go off a waterfall.
Yeah, they get split up.
Yep.
And they get split up there, and they decide to meet back at the town.
Mm-hmm. Cartagena.
But Zolo doesn't know that they have the jewel. He just wants the map still.
Yeah, they still assume that, I guess.
So then she shows up with the map to get her sister back, and that totally fucking works out until Dan DeVito shows up.
Well, and then Zolo has Michael Douglas.
Yeah, Michael Douglas shows up, but it turns out him and Zolo's guys are right there, too.
Right, because he's been captured. Yeah. So then we get the whole ending fight sequence, action sequence after. So Zolo is threatening Kathleen Turner to get her to talk. Where's the jewel? Where's the jewel? Holding her over this pit of alligators, which was established earlier in the movie.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of gators in this movie.
Gators or crocodiles? Gators, right?
I think gators, I think, yeah.
So yeah, but then the gator reaches up. Oh, well, first like, Michael Douglas is like, no, I got it. It's someplace safe. Gets kicked square in the balls, falls out of his pants.
Yeah, because he's been keeping it in his crotch.
Yeah, it was in his prison wallet.
Yeah.
The whole time.
It
was up in his, he keistered it.
Yeah.
And
I think it was actually in his underwear in front.
There's a noise.
Yeah, there's a, when the guy gets kicked.
He hits him with the butt of the gun.
The butt of his gun, and you always hear like this click. Like, that's definitely not flesh.
That is a man who does not want the jewel bad enough, I say.
Didn't want to stick it up in there.
Yeah, it's not that hard to just get frisked. You got to go all in, man. And the jewel wasn't, like, super sharp. You condom that shit up.
I don't know. It looked like it had some angles.
It had some points.
It was not just going to slide right in.
How much you want that boat, Michael Douglas?
That's true. I mean, he keeps that picture of it with him. So,
He doesn't even care about his mom's picture.
No, no, that boat though. That
she's been dead for years, the old hag.
Probably.
Yeah.
He wants that boat.
She's probably the reason why he came home one day and all his Doobie Brother records were sold. Mom, you're so uncool.
That's why he's in Colombia.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, fuck my bitch with my mom.
I'm going to Colombia. Yeah. He went there when he was 12, started kidnapping people.
Yeah. Like that other little boy.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, that's your starter right there.
Yeah.
That's your starter job.
So he kicks it over to Zolo. He's
like the perfect man then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Perfect love interest.
He kicks it over to Zolo. Zolo catches the thing, but then a gator reaches up, bites his hand off, jewel and all.
Great.
In a gruesome scene, especially for a PG film.
Actually. It looks awesome. Yeah. Oh, man. The practical effects are so good.
Fuck yeah. First, that gator couldn't have been real anyway. It's like a side view of gator head, but it looks immaculate.
Yeah.
Apparently, the special effects were by Chris Wallace.
I mean, it could have been a real gator in a fake arm.
Maybe. I don't know.
It looks great, though, and this leads into a huge action sequence.
Mm-hmm. Everybody's shooting at each other.
He's still handless. He's still, like, fucking trying to kidnap Kevin
Turner. He's still kicking ass. So
it
all ends up with Michael Douglas is wrestling the gator because he wants that jewel.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Zolo is attacking Kathleen Turner up on top of this, like,
castle.
They're like an old castle, like, fortress type of thing is what it is. Yeah.
It's like some fucking pirate castle.
Yeah,
18th
century shit. Yeah.
Swashbuckling. Yeah.
So, and she's yelling at Michael Douglas, like, help, help, help. And finally... he lets go of the gator, but by the time he climbs, the gun's empty, it turns out. So by the time he climbs up there, Kathleen Turner's taking care of business.
Yeah, she actually found a way to kill
the one-armed guy, which is he falls through the pit and ends up getting eaten by gators.
The classic.
He's on fire. He gets burned. Yeah. He catches on fire, he falls through the thing, and then he gets eaten.
Even on fire, though, this is a determined motherfucker.
Again, that's a man.
Hero of our story, really.
That's a man who would have put a jewel up his ass.
Yeah. No, absolutely. If he was in that situation, he would have, like, right in there.
He has commitment. He really wants that fucking jewel.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
He's on fire. He's still trying to get to her. Also,
his hand's been bitten off by a fucking crocodile.
She doesn't have the jewel anymore.
He's got willpower, yeah.
Well, at that point, I think he's just so... Pissed about how things are going so bad. I mean, he just had his hand bitten off because of this bitch.
Yeah. So he's just revenge.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. At that point, he wants to stick that switchblade in her neck.
Yeah.
And we've already seen the man loves murdering.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's his passion. Really.
Yeah.
He really enjoys it. He has a knack for it, I would say.
He's even like the government agent to go to for that thing.
Apparently. Yeah. I feel like the president calls him up.
Yeah.
Just like, hey... El Presidente, you know, needs some murder.
He's probably killed the president.
Yeah, probably.
Coups, he's led coups.
Yeah, there's a lot of coups. There's a lot of coups down there. Yeah.
I do love using the word coup.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
Coup d'etat?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then at the Michael Douglas gives her the little, like, be seeing ya, jumps off to swim after the croc because he doesn't even say that. He's like, you start to hear the sirens. He's like, I got a problem with the cops. I'll see you later.
Not surprising.
And just fucking jumps. Yeah, not surprising at all.
Well, he does say something. The last thing he says is like, you're going to be okay, Joan Wilder.
Yeah.
Like that. It's kind of a romantic scene. Jumps off, goes swimming off, and she watches him go. And then it goes into the scene where she's back in New York. She's just finished a book about what just happened.
Exactly.
Made like a novelization about
her
adventure.
Except they're, like, the publisher talks about how sweet it was that he jumps off after, but then he comes back for her and they have a kiss and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah.
And never fucking happened.
Yeah, exactly. And Joan Wilder's just like, yeah, well. And she kind of looks off into the distance and...
Yeah, she says something about her being a hopeful romantic.
Yes, hopeful romantic.
Yeah.
Then, and she's walking back to her apartment to take care of her fucking cat
that she left one time.
That fucking cat that we talked about in Jewel of the Nile.
Because we haven't talked about it at all until now.
Right. Yeah. But we talk about it in Jewel of the Nile that the cat does not appear. So
who the fuck knows
what happens to the?
Yeah, no, that's true. You can actually just open the window and let the cat loose.
You got carried away by like a pigeon.
He's got
a 20-pound pigeon.
One of the many fucking
that
New
fed
York
it to its children in a tree in Central Park.
Disgusting New York pigeon. But yeah, and then she steps out, and lo and behold, a giant fucking sail.
There's a yacht parked right in front of her apartment building.
And who would be in that yacht?
Zolo.
Yep,
which is amazing. Which is an amazing,
it's a huge twist.
No. And
he murders her, and he lives happily ever after.
Yeah.
Zolo does have a Captain Hook story to him.
No, yeah, eaten by an alligator.
Yeah, that's right. He gets his hand bitten off by the alligator. Yeah. He could have come back and just been Captain Hook at that point.
Yeah, pretty much.
Kathleen Turner, Rufio.
Not even Wendy. Rufio.
No, Rufio. Hard mohawk to Rufio.
Oh, my God.
So, of course, no, it's Michael Douglas, and they live happily ever after, and they kiss and blah, 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 and it's really romantic, and who cares?
And also, but that, also, he steps off of that thing with fucking...
The gator skin boots.
Gator skin boots, meaning he killed that fucking gator.
Yeah, fuck yeah, he did. Yep, he's a badass. He's a badass. Yep.
He swam, he just fucking got in the water and swam after a gator.
He caught a gator, which, yeah.
Which, I mean, well, the thing is, he does say that, like, the gator was already kind of, like, getting fucked up by swallowing that jewel and like, that he died in his arms.
So oh, yeah, he
probably
says choked that,
on that or something. Yeah. He probably choked on that.
That was
jewel.
A small jewel to do that.
No, I think, who knows.
No, he.
But
he's
a badass. He's a badass.
Okay, he fought the gator.
Which would have been even, it would have been even more believable if he would have been played by Sylvester Stallone, which he almost was.
Apparently, he was given the script first.
Yeah, Stallone was out for the part as well as Christopher Reeves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Stallone, of course, decided to do a movie with Dolly Parton instead.
Yeah, clearly that's what he should have done. Also, the part was also offered with Clint Eastwood, Jack Nicholson, and Paul Newman.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Paul, a little old at this point, wasn't
he? Paul Newman old. Kind of? Also, Paul Newman turned it down because he said it was too violent. Now, the script actually had been around since 79, apparently.
Wow. Oh, wow.
So maybe it was then when they offered it to him. But yeah, but he said it was too violent.
Weird. Huh.
Yeah.
Weird.
And he didn't want to do it.
He didn't like that gator eating.
That's no.
Who would?
Yeah.
That's really like the only like really violent part.
Pretty much. Like I mean, there's some shooting and stuff, but I mean, come on. This guy did all kinds of movies with violence in them.
Mm. Yeah.
Shooting.
Also, for the Kathleen Turner part, apparently Deborah Winger was offered the part by Michael Douglas. And Michael Douglas, they went and had lunch. And Kathleen Turner tells a story, and she said Deborah Winger bit Michael Douglas. And that's all that it is.
That's all she says, which I think means sex.
Yeah, and then Michael Douglas was like, nah, I don't want her to do the part anymore.
Because I'm guessing the sex was not good?
No. There was too much biting.
Sex. Yeah, too much biting.
Bit Michael Douglas.
There's an appropriate amount of biting, and she went over that amount.
She bit him once, and he's like, oh, I like that. But then she like went fucking way overboard.
Yeah, just started really like, drawing blood.
Now my lip is all swollen, my fucking ears. I don't know what you're doing anymore.
There's a chunk of my shoulder missing.
My whole nipple's gone. Yeah. It's just gone.
And because of that, not in my movie anymore.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye, you're bitch. No longer a part of this.
So that's more the end of the movie. This is the part. So, real quick, we all like this movie, right? It's pretty good.
Yeah. Actually, yeah. Pretty here's the movie. Thing. It is a fun movie.
It's a very fun movie.
It's a romantic comedy without being a shitty romantic comedy. Like my usual go-to thing with this, with romantic comedies, like, and Francisco knows this, it's one of those romantic comedies that doesn't make me want to set fire to a fucking orphanage.
Yeah.
I can't fucking stand most romantic comedies.
Rom-coms make them want to kill orphans.
Pretty much.
I do know that for a fact, yes.
But this one, it's like there's a lot of other stuff going on with it, too.
It's also because it's a comedy and an action movie, too.
Yeah,
it's an action comedy.
Like, adventure action. Mm-hmm. And, the chemistry is pretty fucking amazing.
Yeah, it's good chemistry. I mean, really they went on, well obviously, did Jewel of the Nile after this. We talked about that. And then
War of the Roses.
All three of them. Third time that Danny DeVito and Kathleen Turner and Michael Douglas made a movie together.
It's also the third time Danny DeVito's appeared on our podcast, as we end all podcasts with. If you like Romancing the Stone, you may also like the following assortment of films.
Do you have something? Because I don't know if I have something.
Oh,
sure.
Sure
if I do either.
I have a couple of things, I guess, that we just stuff we talked about while watching the movie.
Like fun action movies that kind of still have like a romantic angle to them. I guess you could say Fifth Element because there's something with that a little bit. You
know, that's a funny movie with some.
Actually, that's
actually pretty good.
Yeah.
And, you
know,
it's
a funny
on,
movie. Yeah. It's got some good romance, some good action.
Yeah. I mean, the romance
like
action is
funny, gristled. Like, he's got a handle on like the streets and all that shit.
And then something literally falls into his life and kind of messes up all that, you know.
I messes
sets him off
or
on this
fixes
adventure.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah,
a little bit.
But sets him off on an adventure.
Yeah, at the end they both get what
he's
they
living...
needed the whole time.
Yeah. Exactly, and that's very much this movie.
Yeah,
very much this movie.
Good recommendation.
It's along
very
line,
good.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Michael Douglas's wife did a little movie called... I'm just going to go with her. she did a little movie called The Mask of Zorro with Sexiest Man Alive, Antonio Banderas. Who is playing a Mexican in this movie, I think?
No, he's a Spaniard.
Well, no, because Anthony Hopkins playing a Spaniard.
Oh yeah,
and I think overall, he's playing Mexican. Yeah. I don't remember, but what I do remember is this movie has a ton of awesome swashbuckling, and just it's a really fun movie. Great, like horse stunts, sword fighting stunts, people flipping around using whips and swords, and it's just a blast of a film. And also blasts. There's explosions in this movie because it's an action movie in the 90s, so of course there is.
Oh yeah, for
damn
sure.
Damn right.
But it's just a really fun adventure movie, and does have a fair amount of romance between aforementioned Catherine Zeta-Jones and Antonio Banderas.
Who can butter my ear anytime.
And
sweet, sweet ear butter.
Catherine Zeta-Jones is definitely playing like Hispanic, and she is she is not.
She's not. She, no. You would play it all the time just because she had black hair.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sort of Hispanic features almost.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Well, but what is isn't she like? Isn't she Welsh?
I don't she's know. She's a weird. Zeta, that almost sounds Spanish almost.
I'm pretty sure she's like Welsh.
Maybe.
Yeah. Know. Anyways.
All I know is that her vagina carries cancer.
Evidently. That's all we know.
We know that thanks to Michael Douglas.
Publicly proclaimed.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's like, I got throat cancer because of old tuna can over here.
Yeah. Yeah. So he took that one for everybody's team.
Yeah.
God bless him.
Thanks, man.
God bless him.
So good. Do you have one real quick
before
we go?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I got a couple. I was thinking of a good movie that's set in Colombia. So as usual, I was going to go with something really artistic that nobody has ever heard of.
Okay, good.
Our Lady of the Assassins is this this crazy Colombian movie about this writer who left a small town, and he comes back, and he falls in love with like a 15-year-old boy. And the movie is about a pedophile who falls in love with this boy, and then it's a romance that they can never be. But this kid is like a criminal and shit, and then he ends up getting caught up in like the criminal thing. And
I do remember hearing about this movie. I don't think I ever saw it, though.
Yeah, that's it's an interesting movie about like the streets of Colombia and stuff like that. But also, on top of that, I do want to also recommend Falling Down, because it's one of my favorite Michael Douglas movies.
Yeah,
that's a good movie.
That's one of his signature roles, along with Romancing Stone.
Yeah, along with Romancing Stone. And Falling Down, I feel like it's if he had never met Kathleen Turner in his movie and he just came back.
That's what he would be. Yeah.
He's just this fucking dude that just hates the world. And as much as I think we hate the world.
Yeah.
America makes him hate the world. Not Colombia.
No, America.
America made him hate the world.
Oh, all he does is he just wants to get a fucking birthday present to his daughter, but he hates traffic, so he blows shit up. He hates punks, so he like beats them up. Like he's just this white collar guy who ends up fucking just going crazy and shooting people. And it's a really fucking cool
movie. Yeah, it's a great movie. That's great.
Why? Because he never got to the jewel. He never got Kathleen Turner. Yeah,
Never happened.
He never even got his crocodile skin boots, man.
He just got 15 grand with the birds to get a flight back over here.
Yeah,
and everything went to shit.
Yeah. It's the alternate history where the bus driver just notices there's a van, like a fucking Jeep in the way, and just keeps driving.
Which means Kathleen Turner's body is out in the jungle somewhere.
She gets murdered. Zolo murders her for throat. Sure.
Immediately.
Yeah.
Zolo immediately fucking murders her.
He's got the jewel. He's living real good right now. That guy is he's doing
in the Falling
good.
Down universe. Zolo is living like a king.
Yeah. Don't worry about him. He's doing okay. He's doing okay.
He's killed shortly
eventually,
after.
Yeah, but eventually. Until then,
one of those henchmen. Right. One of those henchmen is going to kill him.
He lives a good
at least
five
another
20
years
as a king.
Really? Five? I would say 20.
5 to 10 years. The way those things flip around, especially Colombia in the 80s, come on.
Yeah, a lot of cocaine coming in and out. Oh, yeah.
But he was doing
best
okay.
ideas and the worst ideas.
Yeah. So anyway, that's...
Plus, he has both hands.
Yeah,
he has both hands. It really works. The Falling Down universe really works out for Solo.
Yeah,
definitely.
Much more so than for Michael Douglas or Kathleen Turner, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. That's a good Zolo universe, I think. So anyway, that's our podcast.
That's the end of the podcast. That's the end of the movie. That's the end of the recommendations. Everything that we do on this podcast. So thanks for listening.
What's coming up next week?
Movie probably.
Yeah, there was a movie that was coming up next week.
Probably a movie.
But tune in for that movie. For said movie that
for insert title here. Because it's going to be a doozy.
Long pause, and then later just another voiceover.
Second week in a row we've done essentially the same bit, even though it's not a bit.
No, it's just us not being prepared.
48 hours, another great action comedy.
On. Walter Hill, one of my favorite directors.
Yeah, great action comedy, great buddy comedy.
But the first buddy comedy, some people say.
The first buddy comedy.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, yeah. Much like Romancing the Stone, only they don't end up fucking.
Yeah.
Thank God for that.
Yeah. Nick Nolte calls Eddie Murphy a watermelon at one point. Damn.
Yeah, and then he does it on the movie too. Like,
no, but yeah, definitely a good movie.
So that's the end of the podcast. Join us next week as we talk about a classic, like really, truly all-time classic in 48 Hours. And of course, remember to subscribe on iTunes, follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and just tell all your friends and everybody that this is the best podcast you could ever listen to, or I don't know.
Please lie.
Please lie. Exaggerate as much as you possibly can to get people to listen to our dumb, stupid podcast.
For the love of God, why won't you listen to our podcast?
What are you doing that's so fucking important?
Yeah.
Right? Huh?
Are you better than me?
Yeah.
What are you trying to save somebody's life on the surgical table?
You can still listen to a podcast and do surgery.
For God's sakes, do not listen to any podcast and do surgery at the same time. What fucking school do you go to?
The School of Hard Knocks, son.
I hate that surgery guy. It's always listening to podcasts while
he's just laughing while he's in the middle of, like, I don't know, cutting your heart open.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Like, I'm unconscious, but I'm still hearing it. So it's like creating these feverish dreams.
Like
podcasts and just people talking about movies.
He doesn't even have headphones on, he's just the whole staff he's has to listen it. To
yeah.
it.
Yeah. It's like, motherfucker.
Because he's a surgeon. Like, yeah. It gets him in the zone.
Exactly.
But he's fucking it up for everybody else.
Pretty much. Yeah. Pretty much. That's unprofessional. It's unprofessional. No,
you know, it would be nice if the Doobie Brothers showed up and gave him a talking to.
Yeah.
I would say.
Give him a little
It would just be nice if the Doobie Brothers got back together.
It would be nice.
Rap at him. Turn their hat up backwards in the chair.
Yeah, chair. Turn around, sit backwards.
Then I'm assuming that I'll have a really good fucking, what do you call it when you just all get together, smoke weed? Isn't there a word for that? I don't know.
Sex orgy.
Life. Yeah, there you go. I'm such a square. Oh, God.
So that's the end of the show. Join us next week. Until then, blockheads, I've been E.G. Seitz.
I've been Francisco Landin.
I've been Nathaniel La Madrid, guest, host, something. I don't know.
And we'll probably be that again next week.
Probably.
Good night and good journey.
And God bless.
You're welcome.
Fuck or what?